listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5, 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us. Mark Ross from NFL Network is going to join us. The NFL training camps are opening all over the country. So they've got NFL coverage. NFL Network's inside training camp coverage starts today through August 10th. So they're going to go to every camp and check it out. It'll be interesting to see what some of the storylines that they're working on over at NFL Network and what we can look forward to. So we'll have him on in about 12 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. The Dolphins, are you glad that the Dolphins are one of the most intriguing teams this year?
It's fun, I guess, to be talked about, but it's mostly because people are trying to see if their opinions on a certain quarterback are going to be confirmed or they're going to have to eat crow. And Tyreek Hill is certainly fanning the flames because of his out-and-out clear support of Tua Tagovailoa, which is something that quarterback hasn't had since he's been there.
No, how about the difference? How about, you know, Zimmer with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, we found that out.
We found that out this offseason that, you know, Zimmer hated Kirk Cousins. So, you know, and it showed, and, you know, they didn't get anything done, and Kirk Cousins would be walking around like, man, like a whipped dog around there because his head coach had... And we know Flores didn't like Tua.
Yeah, we know that at least we don't know, but we've heard the rumors or seen the rumors that they didn't really get along, and apparently Flores had MF Tua a couple times through the season. So that's not a great relationship for the young quarterback. We know that he was at least he's being portrayed as the driving force in the Deshaun Watson trade stuff. So if Tua knows the coach doesn't want him, he's trying to replace him with a guy who isn't really all that available because you don't know when he's going to play. A lot of factors played into it. And the other thing was, all this was going on as the Dolphins were winning games. They won 19 games over 2 years. They were in two playoff chases that they couldn't come through down the stretch. So there's a lot of things going on, and you're trying to balance winning games. It wasn't a great environment for a young quarterback.
No. And now maybe Tyreek Hill is trying to make it a great advice. And you know what? God bless, because that's the way to go about it. Let me give this young guy some confidence. I want him to feel great about himself because this is the guy that's going to decide whether or not we are going to win football games this year. If Tua plays well, the Dolphins have a chance to do some big things this year.
They're very talented, yes.
Who is this that we're hearing from?
We're hearing from, I believe it's Jason.
McCourty?
McCourty. Jason McCourty, I believe, played for the Dolphins last year before he retired. So he's speaking on the environment with Tua and what Tyreek Hill's trying to do.
I was with Tua down there last year in Miami, and it's annoying. It was annoying for him to continue to hear the Deshaun Watson trade rumors in training camp, at the trade deadline, just continuing to hear it. Heck, he started his career on battling with Ryan Fitzpatrick. It's been so many times about the other guy. So for him, I think he's eating this up. He loves it. Mm-hmm. It's about him. It probably reminds him of his Alabama days. Mm. All about him. Tyreek Hill's bigging him up. And I'm sure he's saying some of these things because he's accurately throwing the ball down there throughout minicamp.
You know, it is kind of a big deal. If you ever played the position, I can't even imagine playing the position and the coach doesn't like you. Or, you know, or he's MFing you. And that's just not, how in the hell are you going to be able to compete? Honestly, you every single throw, you're like a whipped dog. You're wondering, you know, what is he thinking? Is it am I going to be pulled? And because he got pulled last year.
Last year, when you're thinking about a young quarterback in this development, you're thinking, well, let him learn from his mistakes. It's the perfect time for it. But because the Dolphins were in a playoff chase and on their way to winning 10 games, he got pulled a couple times because of whether you deem it ineffectiveness or whatever. It happened against the Broncos. Ryan Fitzpatrick led a field goal drive, then threw an interception in the end zone that would have tied the game because that's the Ryan Fitzpatrick experience. And then against the Raiders, we all remember that was a game where the Dolphins had to win to keep their playoff hopes alive on a Saturday in Vegas. I think it was around Christmas time, maybe. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes in, remember he had his helmet pulled, like to the side, still makes a throw down the sideline, leads to a game-winning field goal. So much like Ryan Fitzpatrick's career, he went one for one in his saving the season opportunities. So when you know you're going to get pulled, you know the head coach treats you more like you're just a corner. Like I think even he talked about it. Like, I'm going to do what's best for us to win at every opportunity. Well, that's great. You want to hear that from your head coach, except when you're trying to mentor and trying to develop a young quarterback. And last year, the Deshaun stuff was prevalent throughout the year. So, like I said, this wasn't a great experience for him. Now he has a chance with the new coach, an offensive mind, a guy who has gotten the best along with Kyle Shanahan out of quarterbacks. Apparently, that system has helped quarterbacks in their first year quite a bit. We'll see what he's got. He's got weapons. He's got a better offensive line. Oh, the other thing, by the way, is he had the worst offensive line in football last year.
Oh, I would argue the Bears were worse.
Well, the Dolphins were ranked 32 out of 32 by most. And we're not talking about, like, one of the worst. Like, Tua had the most pressures against him by, like, 80. Like, when you're comparing other quarterbacks, 80 more pressures than anyone else in football. That's how bad they were.
And he wasn't even the full-time guy.
No, he missed time.
Yeah.
It may have been not Tua, but the Dolphins. Let me take that back. It was the Dolphins in general. You mentioned Jacoby Brissett. So, yeah, the Dolphins' offensive line in general allowed the most pressures by a wide margin. So they go and get Teron Armstead. They get Connor Williams from the Cowboys. So they try to address it there. But, yeah, it's a big year. And mostly, I don't think he'll play poorly. I think he'll play pretty well, but the other thing hanging over the head of this team is they have two first-round picks in 2023. So there's always a thought that, hey, they can address their quarterback situation pretty easily. Or, you know, trade. If the Lamar Jackson stuff doesn't get worked out,
it's kind of odd.
Trade the picks for him.
It's kind of odd, his career so far, in that he's a number five. Usually you're going to kowtow, you're gonna do everything you can for a number five overall pick.
Not Brian Flores.
He was like, I don't like him. Let's go get Deshaun.
He brought in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Ryan Fitzpatrick was there in 2019. They were terrible to start the year. They finished the year maybe, I think, 5-4.
Well, did Greer bring in Fitzpatrick? Or
no, I think that was Greer. He wanted a veteran. Because yeah. Tua wasn't on the team in 2019. But what I'm saying is, instead of Flores, once Tua was drafted, he didn't bring in a young OC that could grow a tool. He brought in Chan Gailey, who had a prior relationship with Ryan Fitzpatrick. So he brought in an older OC who was out of football for a couple of years to shepherd the old quarterback through the season. That's not how it usually works when you draft a quarterback in the top five. You don't hire an OC for the old guy.
Well, and I was thinking about that as a matter of fact, when Caserio signs Kyle Allen, when he signs Kevin, now Kevin Hogan just wants a job, and that's all. But he signs Kyle Allen, and he says, Kyle, you ain't going to be the starter. Just so you know, you're going to be backup. I want you to prepare for the backup, and I want you to help Davis Mills. What we're doing here is we're trying to find out whether or not Davis Mills is the guy, and we want to do everything we can to make that happen. Just know this is not a competition. Is that the right way to go about it? That a young quarterback who's got as little experience as Davis Mills. Now, that may not be what Nick Caserio said, but I can almost get that's not. There is no competition here.
Well, that's how they treat all young quarterbacks, unless you're a complete failure. Now, there is some context to the Tua thing. Remember, he was coming off the hip, so he wasn't going to be ready to go to start the year. So that's where the Ryan Fitzpatrick stuff really started to kick up, because the Dolphins were, I think, 3-3 before they benched him. So he did get his way, because there was no competition there because Tua wasn't healthy. So Fitzpatrick got the start. You know, get the rest with the team. But most young quarterbacks, when they're healthy and ready to go, it's their team. Yeah. It was Herbert's team. It was Burrow's team. It was Lawrence's team.
Right.
Yeah, so it makes sense that now Davis Mills wasn't drafted in the same spot. But if you like him, you go, it's his team until it's not his team anymore.
Right. Well, it's a very rare third rounder.
Yeah.
I mean,
Russell Wilson did it when he beat out Matt Flynn.
And they just signed Matt Flynn to a big deal.
And Russell Wilson outperformed him, and then it was his team. So Davis Mills didn't have that same competition, but he was better than Tyrod Taylor, and then it became his team the rest of the way.
Yep. And 9-11 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mark Ross going to join us on the other side. We're going to talk about NFL training camps and what's going on at NFL Network. Next, right here, don't go anywhere.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. John and Dell, along with Brian, here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mark Ross, NFL analyst. You can follow him at Mark Ross, M-A-R-C, Ross, R-O-S-S, on Twitter. NFL Network's Inside Training Camp coverage airs today through August 10th. And Mark is joining us to talk about camps right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Mark, welcome in. How are you?
Excellent. How about you?
Man, we appreciate you joining us. Let's talk a little bit. Okay, what are the most intriguing storylines in camps this year for you?
Well, right now, one of the most intriguing storyline is that Kyler Murray contract where you got to pay the guy to actually do his job. That was kind of, you always see a lot of unprecedented things in the NFL, but I can definitely say that that one, since it's the hot topic right now, new, that I've never seen anything like that before in a con. You always try to build things out in players' contracts, but to have your starting quarterback, franchise quarterback, hopefully Super Bowl winning quarterback, after having it in his provision in his contract that he actually has to do his job, was kind of shocking to me to see that.
Not exactly Peyton Manning, now, is he?
Mark.
Or any other regular quarterback.
Yeah, Peyton Manning is on the spectrum of legitimate freak when it comes to film study. Other quarterbacks aren't getting that put in their contract. So when the questions get asked of the Cardinals specifically, I know Kyler will have to answer them, what do you think their justification will be for not only giving him the deal considering their concerns, but why they put him in the first place?
Yeah, I think, of course, they'll spin it the right way. They'll try to spin it of, both of us agreed on this, and we thought this was best. Of course, they'll spin it like that. But, you know, for them, this wasn't something they just thought about in the last minute of the deal. You know, you sweeten a pot. This wasn't a sweeten a pot kind of thing to sign Kyler. This was something that, obviously, they've seen throughout the years with him, and it was a problem for that to be be put in there. That's something that bothered a lot of people who were doing the deal, the ownership, the head coach, the GM, that they felt that it was that important. And on Kyler's side of it, you saw the quote that they've had out there where he talked about he actually doesn't do it, which was kind of shocking, where he said he doesn't like to watch film. So from both sides, this is something that they're hoping it's that thing. All right, we'll put money into something and make them do it, and he'll get better at it. And I don't know if that's the right way.
We got Mark Ross with us here, an NFL Network analyst. Also, he is the executive vice president of football operations for the XFL. We want to talk a little XFL with you in just a bit. But let's continue with training camps, and let's talk about Kenny Pickett versus Mitchell Trubisky. Does it matter? Do you want to get Kenny Pickett on the field because he is the future? Trubisky may not be?
Of course, you always want to, you draft the quarterback in the first round, you want to get him on the field. But it's always, you want to get him on the field at the right time and when he's ready. And only the people in Pittsburgh know that right now. You know, and every quarterback is different as far as when they're ready and when you should put them in and how much they can handle. I will say for Pittsburgh's, they do have the stability that you look for to put a quarterback. You got a great defense. They got receivers. They got running back. You know, they're hoping their line is improved. So they have all the foundation and they have everything around him to make it somewhat seamless. It's never seamless, but it is at least not throwing them into the wolves. You know, maybe like a Davis Mills last year with Houston, when there's not a whole lot of talent around him. So there is that for him. And it's not as if he's replacing a Hall of Famer or has to compete with someone that's a prominent Pro Bowler. You know, Trubisky's, they're hoping he does better as well. So it'll be a nice competition for them. But I think Kenny Pickett will be on the field when the Steelers coaches feel like, you know what, okay, let's go with this guy. And especially if they're not winning with Trubisky.
Funnily enough, we were talking about a quarterback development in the previous segment, played some sound from Jason McCourty, and the coach of Tua Tagovailoa is on that Pittsburgh staff now, and Brian Flores. Do you think Pittsburgh, or particularly Mike Tomlin, who's never had a losing season, will be of the mindset that I will let this young quarterback struggle, or will he be the type that winning means more, and if Mitch Trubisky, I think, gives me the better option, I'm going to take Kenny Pickett off the field?
Yeah, I think with Pittsburgh, yeah, again, different organizations are do different things, and they have different expectations, and it's, for Pittsburgh, they know that their goal is winning Super Bowls, and their goal is always winning, and they don't have to rush to do things. They don't have to be forced to do things just because they just have a system of doing things, for the most part, the right way. So winning is paramount, and they're not going to sacrifice winning if Trubisky's doing that to say, we have to go play this this young quarterback. So, you know, if the defense is carrying them, if Trubisky's making a couple plays here and there, I think they'll just keep riding with Trubisky.
Mark Ross with us here on ESPN 97.5 NFL Network. Who will miss their wide receiver more? Aaron Rodgers will miss Davante Adams more, or Patrick Mahomes is going to miss Tyreek Hill more?
I think Aaron will miss Davante more. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's tough call, but I think at this stage in his career with Aaron and what the Chiefs, I just think the Chiefs did more to supplement for losing Tyreek than the Packers did for Davante. So, you know, you lose guys, okay, but then what's the step down? What's the next step down? What have we done as a team to offset the loss? So, and I think the Chiefs did more. I love Sky Moore, my favorite player in the draft. Not that he's the exact trade-off for Tyreek, but just that and the freezing signings that they had with Juju. So I just think, and Aaron and Davante just had such synergy where when all else fails, let's not call a play, let's just throw it up to this guy. You know, that's something that's hard to, really, really hard to replace.
Sticking with the Chiefs, in this town, when the Dolphins traded Laremy Tunsil and the Texans didn't get a deal done, they were over the barrel because what they gave up. Where the Chiefs stand with Orlando Brown Jr.? Didn't get a deal done with him when they traded for him. Do you expect this to be long and drawn out? And who do you think has the leverage here?
Yeah, I think it'll get done. I think just as of now, everybody, when people don't report to camp and hold out, it's that panic. But I things are getting done behind the scenes, and I'm sure, you know, again, this wasn't some surprise thing. This is something they knew was coming down for a while. They knew when they traded for him, this was going to happen. So I think it'll get done because this has been getting worked on for a while. And all parties involved have known what the parameters are and what they'd have to do. So I think in that aspect, it will get done. It's great to talk about now, but, you know, they need Orlando Brown to be at their best. So I think it'll be okay.
Mark Ross with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Can we talk a minute about the XFL, and particularly here in Houston? We had we were the champs. We were 5-0. It was so good. It was so much fun, Mark. You could bring in Houston back. Some of the other ones were eliminated. No New York teams, no California teams this year. We got three teams in Texas and San Antonio and Dallas and Houston in Texas with San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas. Talk about that and coming up with the eight teams and the eight cities that you guys wanted to be a part of.
Yeah, so it was obviously all strategic where we carried over some teams from 2.0, XFL 2.0 that did really well, and particularly St. Louis and Seattle had really good fan bases and really good support, so brought that over, but then also tried to go to some newer markets to get that fan base. So obviously we released it yesterday. We've known about the cities for a while, but we just put it out in the public. So we're excited about it, and you know, even with the head coaches, we were trying to strategic with the coaches we hired. Wade Phillips down there in Houston, you know, how do you beat that? So he's excited. I think the fan base is excited. Even though Wade got booed in Dallas, we had the town hall the other day. The Dallas fans there booed him a little bit. He said, "I thought y'all loved me in Dallas," so it was kind of cool. But we got a good group of cities, good group of head coaches that are going to, you know, get into those cities and start trying to work those communities right away, get that fan base going. We had excellent support and season ticket sales already. So yeah, we're fired up about it and think we've put it in place the right way.
Last time 2.0 didn't have the USFL competition. What's that going to be like now?
It remains to be seen. You know, we think that, you know, obviously they're there. They had the advantage of getting out first. But we think we have the advantage of just kind of everything else with our platform that we've set up that to make it the best league it can be. And you know, the player, I keep saying to people here, it's like college. You know, once college goes and high school five-star recruits getting recruited for college, okay, this school has these advantages, this one has this, and it'll just be up to those players that we're trying to recruit to look at the platforms and look at the foundation that we have, look at the ownership, and see which is best for them. And we think that, you know, we have an excellent platform that will be advantageous for those players.
The cities are named, not the team names, and you mentioned the coaches being named. Now, the Roughnecks were popular here. People wore the gear. The guy to my right called the games. are we still making decisions about team names, or is that something that's already been decided and they'll be released later?
Yeah, man. So we have to understand we have, you know, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, and Danny Garcia, you know, that their world is production. Their world is creating buzz and hype, and they've got this whole plan of when we unveil things and when we put things out, and it's all strategic and done. So, yeah, we got it. We kind of know all that stuff, but they're going to drop it at a certain point, and it's going to be a big deal. And so they know how to create that buzz. They know how to create those eyes on things and create that sensationalism. So, yeah, I think it'll be some happy people around. But, yeah, that'll be unveiled, I believe, in September with the team names and colors and everything.
That'll be great. I know that they had a problem with the Derek and the logo for the Roughnecks with the Oilers and blah, 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 whatever. We love the Roughneck name, though. Just so you know, we love that Roughneck name. And the logo, you can do what you want with. Mark Ross with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Do you ever see, is it a possibility that the plan is that the XFL could become like the G League for the NFL, in that you players can move up and down, or this is a training ground for NFL?
Yeah, definitely. We've been working with the NFL on a lot of player-centric health and safety, officiating, international player development, all those things that we've been working with the NFL. And, yeah, for us, we're not anti-NFL. We're together with the NFL as much as possible. And if our season starts right after the Super Bowl and is in that time frame of, you know, OTAs and things like that, so – yeah, we think for us is, okay, guys playing games, get game exposure. You know, there's nothing like playing in games. You can practice all you want, but nothing like playing in games. And, you know, we hope it is that to that point where, yeah, guys want to see and get game film out and play in games, and that'll help them out with NFL teams seeing what they can actually do. And, yeah, we're not going to limit players at all to say, okay, if you play a year at the XFL, then now you're good enough to play in the NFL. We think that this helps everybody involved. And, sure, the ultimate goal would be anytime you're with the NFL, it's going to work for you.
XFL 2.0 brought new rules that people liked, some innovations that have actually made it to different leagues, particularly a league in Europe I saw with the kickoff. Is there something else coming down the pike that's not being talked about? Is there another innovation to maybe a rule change that you guys will possibly release a little bit later on?
Yeah, once the games start going, you'll see some different rules and innovations, tweaks with in-game stuff. Nothing hokey, nothing gimmicky. It's things that we talked about. Okay, why is this done a certain way in games, and how can this be better? So we definitely have some things going that I think are fan-friendly, with the pace of the game and interactive with the fans that you'll enjoy. But everything is about the purity of football and how can we make it better. Not, let's just, you know, have a gorilla running around on the field, see if the guys can tackle it. It's going to be some real stuff, real innovations that have to do with the game.
That is great stuff. That's Mark Ross, not only NFL Network, but also the executive vice president of the XFL, which is awesome, which we have here in the city of Houston with Wade Phillips as our head coach. NFL Network's Inside Training Camp coverage airs today through August 10th. Let me ask you a question. Are you going to go to every camp, even the Texans camp? You guys are going to go there despite how disinterested everybody is in the Houston Texans?
It's a hot topic, right? You know, we have that Saturday, Welcome Back Saturday, where, yeah, we cover all 32 camps and nonstop coverage. You know, even Houston's got great storylines going on, and we make sure we highlight those as well.
What is there anything intriguing for you in the Texans camp?
Well, I guess, you know, Davis Mills is the key. Yeah. You know, that's really is the key. How good he is, how good he can be, what his development is, and, you know, everything else revolves around that. Is, as we know, it's the franchise quarterback, and how much better is he going to be this year, and is he the franchise quarterback? So that is the big storyline.
It's tough, though. I mean, John Metchie was supposed to be a guy who would help. I mean, that they added Marlon Mack, you know, gave him a weapon in the backfield, hopefully. They added Kenyon Green, and John Metchie was supposed to be another weapon for him. That just sucks, doesn't it? I mean, all the way around, that John Metchie story.
Yeah, that's really sad. He was really a wonderful kid. And But you know, hopefully, a little adversity guy comes back and this is a step back for him. And definitely sad. But what franchise quarterbacks? You always try to have, again, as I talk about the Sports Network, Kenny Pickett, but there's just certain elements of quarterback play that, and I've always said that you can see and you can feel and you know it when you see it that, okay, but Joe Burrow's got getting sacked 80 times a year, but you can see that Joe Burrow's great. So let's just get his offensive line better. And I think with any quarterback, if you look back on great quarterbacks, you saw the greatness. You saw how good they were. You just needed to tweak everything around them to make sure that they optimize their greatness. And I think you'll see that with Davis Mills this year. No matter what's around him, okay, you can just do the eye test of saying, is he legit? Is this a guy that's out there making plays? Can he do it? And I think that's something you'll be able to see throughout the season.
Mark Ross, at Mark Ross, MarkRoss. Follow him on Twitter, at Mark Ross. Mark, thanks for your time, man. We really appreciate it. Good luck with the NFL Network Inside Training Camp coverage and with the XFL. We're watching closely here.
All right, appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
You too. Mark Ross right here, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Good stuff. Good XFL stuff.
I know, you're so thrilled.
I hope we get it back. I hope we get it back here on the station.
Look, all I know is the Roughnecks better be the name.
They better keep that.
That's simple. It's a simple, easy win.
They might have to change the logo, but
that's fine.
Yeah.
But easy win to make it the Roughnecks and go from there. If you go on the website, you can look at the coaches, and I think some of the color coding of like the announcement of the coaches will tell you the colors of these teams. And the Roughnecks is a dark blue, like not a Roughnecks.
Yeah.
Houston, Wade Phillips, there's a dark blue. I think we're in line to see a similar color palette than what we saw the XFL 2.0 showed. Because even Orlando had a greenish color, and it's green again.
Yeah,
I think we're going to see something similar to what we saw the last time around.
Well,
as far
we were
as uniforms,
red last year.
Yeah, red and blue.
Red and blue.
But red was the dominant color for the home
team.
What
the only thing they have to change, it was impossible to see the numbers.
The numbers? They were silver, right?
It was the worst. And for a play-by-play guy, it was the worst. I told Brian Michael Cooper, who was the GM of the team, I'm like, what did you do?
Because I wasn't thinking about you, John.
Did anybody to ask me about this? About not being able to see numbers?
They weren't worried about you.
No. All right. Jerks. Start worrying about the play-by-play guy. 931 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Taking one. We got still ahead. News of the Weird. You don't want to go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
936 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Mark Ross, how about that? Got a little XFL info for you there. That was a good get, Brian. Nice job there. Gilbert is here. Brian, are you familiar with Gilbert? You're familiar with his work? Everyone, I think. Dell, are you familiar with Gilbert?
I've had some interactions.
Now, so Gilbert's been telling us jokes lately. I don't know if you
really?
Heard. Yeah.
Are they good jokes?
Aggie walks into an abortion clinic.
What?
That's how that one, the first one started.
Wow. That's a little deeper than I thought.
A little, yeah. It was, I forget, and I tried.
How did it end?
I don't know. I forget.
What's the punchline?
I don't know. We gotta get Gilbert in here. Hey, Gilbert.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Good, man. How are you?
Say, why don't you question? When's the spring training supposed to start for the Texans?
Training camp? When does it start?
Yeah.
It starts, the guys are reported today. And so it's...
No, the regular preseason game.
Oh, when is their first preseason game?
Yeah, August 13th or what?
I think you might be onto something there.
You're asking questions you know the answer
to. You already know that?
No, I don't know that. I'm asking you that.
Oh, you're asking me that. Yeah, their first game is August 13th. You said you hit the nail on that. Did you just guess? You just guessed it?
Who they play?
They play the Saints.
In Houston or in New Orleans?
In Houston.
You want to go or something?
You want to go?
No, I'm going to game after the game.
Oh, August 13th? Oh, that's right. That's Milo Hamilton's being inducted or something?
No, Tal Smith.
Oh, Tal Smith, that's right. You're a big Tal Smith guy. I forgot about that. I never forget that anyway.
Okay, anyway, yeah.
Expect the loss. The A's are in town.
Yeah.
It's the A's game?
Yeah, your producer now. You tell your producer that get Jennifer Ray to the Christmas party anyway.
Brian, can you get Jennifer Reyna to the Christmas party?
Is that his responsibility or is it RJ's?
No,
of course, I'm already on it.
Brian's already working it. He's already said he's reached out to her already, Gilbert.
Gilbert, why do you want Jennifer Reyna at the Christmas party?
Oh, I'll take a picture with her before I die anyway.
Before you die?
Wow.
Are you foreseeing that in the near future? Your death?
Gilbert's a seer,
Yeah,
I know
that.
Yeah.
How much time do you have left?
No, like, when are you going to die?
Another 2 years.
Two years.
That's it?
So he needs that thing to happen immediately.
Oh, almost. I think you're going longer than that, Gilbert.
There's something about you.
I don't know.
All right, so wait a minute. So we got limited time here to get you this Jennifer Reyna. Well, you know, this picture. But if you're going to die in 2 years, you're not going to enjoy it that long.
Yeah, what do you need a picture for if you're going to be dead in 2 years?
Put it in my room anyway. You know, I love Jennifer Reyna. Anyway.
I know you do.
So you're just going to put it up and stare at it?
Yeah, stare at it.
Do you want her face in the camera?
Don't cut him off. Don't cut him off. What's wrong with
you? And I'll take a picture of you and Wendy also, you know. Y'all mean much to me anyway.
So you want pictures of John and Wendy and Jennifer Reyna in your room?
Yeah, the Christmas party. That's my birthday.
Okay.
Christmas present for this year.
Christmas present.
I didn't tell last year I was sick anyway. It's not a hospital, you know.
Well, okay, so what happened when you were
sick?
He was weak.
What happened when you were sick and we had the Christmas party? What happened after that?
I was in a hospital rehab. You visited me there on
You
weren't in rehab.
No, you weren't. Not after the Christmas party. You were home.
Didn't people show up at your home?
Yeah.
What did we bring you?
Sounded upset about that.
What did we
bring? NFL jacket and some.
Mm-hmm. What else?
An autograph helmet.
And what else?
What else?
T-shirt and cap.
Yeah.
Keep forgetting something.
They were fine.
No. What else?
What else?
Don't say your sign off. What else did they bring to you? Like a big box or something, right?
Yeah.
What was it?
Yeah, well, T-shirt. Cap.
No.
Why does he keep...
No. How about all the money?
Yeah, $1,000. That's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Why you got $1,000 for Christmas? You know how many people didn't get $1,000 for Christmas?
Who? Santa Claus?
No, Santa Claus doesn't get gifts. He gives them. Don't you think? I think what John's point is, I know you're asking.
Barry in the lead.
That maybe this year you give as opposed to getting? Like, you got great gifts last year. You don't want to give to someone this year?
I'll think about it anyway. Hey, listen, man. I want someone to take me to the. When the Astros go to the World Series, new cap and t-shirt, you know.
Wait a minute. When the Astros go to the World Series, you want a new cap and a new t-shirt?
No, he said he wants someone to take them. So you just...
If they clinch the World Series, you know.
So you just want to ride to the Academy store? And you'll buy it yourself?
Yeah, 10:30 at night anyway.
You want to go at night,
If we can get someone to take you there, will you just buy the stuff yourself since you got a ride?
No, I need to ride to go to the Academy store.
I know that, but once you're there, won't you just buy your own stuff since you got the ride?
Yeah, I'll get a ride. Yeah, that's right.
I don't feel like you're answering the question.
He's not. He's just avoiding it. He's just avoiding the question. Anyway, so you want Jennifer, Brian, have you talked to Jennifer Reyna yet?
Not yet. Her publicist is getting back to me.
I can't get hold of Jennifer Reyna.
You can't what?
My computer, what?
What?
I can't
get Jennifer Reyna on the line no more.
You can't. No.
What, she blocked
your phone
number?
No, you're not allowed. Brian is calling her. He's trying to get her to the Christmas party.
What if Jennifer Reyna says it's your time to give? Will you give something if Jennifer Reyna says, Gilbert, I heard about last year, it's time to give instead of receive. Will you do that in honor of Jennifer Reyna?
Yeah.
What will you give?
You think Jennifer Rainer wants Gilbert to give her something?
No, I don't want. No, like maybe he gives the charity instead of the other way around this time. I don't think she wants anything to do with anything.
Well, I'm pretty sure not.
I didn't want to take a picture with Jennifer Rainer, okay?
I know. Yeah, we've heard. We know that. We heard.
The problem
like
is
12 years.
We're not sure that she wants to take a picture with you. Can you understand that she might not want to take a picture with you?
Well, that's
why is
ugly.
That?
Why is that? I don't know. People have different things they don't
want
to do.
Yeah, why? Come on, Dell.
You want me to give some reasons or you want to leave them alone?
What the hell? That's ugly of you. Hey, I think she wants to take a picture with you, Gilbert.
I would.
And we just got to get her there. But maybe she's busy that day.
She knows she works.
Okay.
All right.
I'll see you, hope I don't.
Hope you don't what, die?
Go to the hospital before then. How that sounds.
Right. We hope. Yeah.
I hope you don't go to the hospital either.
We hope you don't go to the hospital. That's
how's
true.
That? Was that a threat that he'll go to the hospital?
Yeah. Well, okay. After Thanksgiving weekend, I can make it to the crucifier, okay? Well,
we hope for that to be the case.
All right, Gilbert. All right, then, anyway.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Keep those egg rice.
Give that man some reality.
Keep egg rolls frying.
There's no guarantee that Jennifer Rainer wants to take a picture with him.
What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with him?
That's so ugly.
Why?
Because Gilbert has that. You're hurting.
Do you think Jennifer Rainer just wants to take pictures?
You're hurting his self-confidence.
Oh, that's clearly the case.
Yeah.
Do you think Jennifer Rainer just is looking to take pictures with people? I think that's one of the things she doesn't want to do.
No, of course she does. She loves to take pictures.
You sure? With other people she's never met?
You don't know that. You don't know
that. I'm going to guess she doesn't.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure she gets asked for pictures all the time. She goes, you know what? I'm good.
Dell, wishing you much success in your future endeavors. Thank you for your service.
Can't believe. Are you going to read that part of it?
I don't want to read that.
You want to read?
Stop, Art.
You read the final sentences. Why are you stopping there?
9:45 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. News of the weird. It's so weird coming your way. And how Dell's life is in danger right now. We'll tell you why.
Hearing about this.
We will tell you on the other side.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It's that simple. Dell, what would you think of a woman without a belly button?
I would think she's an alien.
Well, A Kiwi woman didn't find out that she didn't have a belly button until after her surgery, until after her dressings were removed. They had to take to rid her of the umbilicus due to an unexpected complication.
But what does a belly button do?
The belly button doesn't do anything.
So, I mean, other than looking like a Barbie doll or something, who cares?
Well, would you think if it was nah, it's too weird. I can't do that.
What do you mean by do that?
Can't hit that?
I'm only laughing because my mother just texted me, go, wow, so hard on him, the Gilbert stuff, and now I have to answer this question. No, it wouldn't preclude me.
It wouldn't? Belly button's not that
big.
Belly button's not that big a deal for you?
Nah, I don't really care. I probably wouldn't even notice it. Like, at first, you'd have to probably point it out to me. Oh, I don't have a belly button. Oh, you don't. Actually, oh, look at that. But you know what does freak me out? An Audi. Audi belly buttons freak me out a little bit.
An Audi is different.
I would choose no belly button over seeing an Audi.
Really?
Like, it depends. Like, yeah, but Audis kind of freak me out. Not going to lie. I don't know what that is about me.
You'd better buckle up, pal, because this next story, here's a new study says napping too much could lead to early death.
What is too much?
Don't sleep on your poor health. Those who nap more on average have a greater risk of developing high blood pressure and stroke, according to new analysis published Monday in Hypertension, American Heart Association Journal. It puts your heart at risk.
How much is too much?
Are you willing to take this risk?
You know, the answer to this question is I would rather nap and put my heart at risk than work an hour a day. That thing you're talking about, do something you have to for an hour a day to get paid. I'd rather take naps.
It's worse for those under 60. as napping most days. It says napping most days.
I don't nap most days.
Led to a 20% higher chance of developing high blood pressure. You probably are about to die.
Hmm. Huh. Well, it's been
that's the way I interpret the study.
It's been an average run.
That's the way.
Most people are like, it's been an average run.
It's been all right. Ain't nothing to write home about.
If you're telling me work an hour a day, get paid $200K like you suggested before, or get rid of the naps, taking the naps and the high, whatever you said the issues are.
20%. Well, I'll take it. It's only, you know what, one out of five.
Yeah. There's a good chance I don't suffer any complications.
Apparently, NASA says, a NASA scientist says, your dad was one of these, right?
He worked for a private company, Boeing, but they worked with NASA.
Oh, okay. So he's a rocket scientist, your dad.
He would call himself an aerospace engineer, which would explain his disappointment with what I do.
Astronauts should not pleasure themselves in zero gravity.
What's the reason why they can't do that?
For fears female astronauts could get impregnated by stray fluids.
What? It'll just float?
It floats through the air.
And how does it?
With zero gravity.
Oh, it doesn't affect the stuff?
There are strict guidelines over alone time on board in zero gravity. Scientists have warned even the slightest rouge droplet could cause chaos on board.
That is amazing.
I'm sorry, rouge. They spelled it wrong. They spelled rouge instead of rogue.
Rogue
droplet.
That's not something they discuss on For All Mankind on Apple Plus, that TV show. They don't talk about the rogue droplets potentially impregnating a female astronaut.
Three female astronauts can get impregnated by the same man on the same session. It finds its way.
Wow, these are seeking. Zero gravity does wonders. Why aren't we taking people up who have fertility issues up to zero gravity?
Oh, by the way, does porn work in zero gravity? Yes, sir.
I mean, I don't know if this can translate, but if we can put people with fertility issues in zero gravity, maybe it would help.
Maybe. I'm telling you, it's a heat-seeking missile.
Wow.
It's going to find its place, okay? Flight attendant, speaking of flights, flight attendant found a severed snake head in an airline meal. Do you think you would like a meal of a lasagna snake head?
No, but what if it was like fried and spiced? And spicy. Would I eat a snake head if it was fried
spicy?
Well,
what if it was spicy mayonnaise?
Oh, no, out. Get that trash out of here. That's not even a real thing for me.
The FBI says that they did not find Jimmy Hoffa, his body, under the New Jersey Bridge. Just so everybody would know.
People still believe that's a thing.
Huh? Was not there. Just so you know.
I thought he was buried in Giant Stadium.
That's what we all thought. Apparently, Representative Matt Gaetz, he made some news.
He does quite a bit.
Apparently, he was talking about women who protest abortion. They are less likely to get pregnant. Well, because they're just not attractive. He said this. Why is it that women with the least likelihood of getting pregnant are the ones most worried about having abortions? Nobody wants to impregnate you if you look like a thumb. Do you think Matt Gaetz should be president next?
Look, considering the last two, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge? What am I going to say? Oh, he has no shot? Who am I to say that, considering?
Does he make a good point
here? No, because has he looked at the people who have children? Thumbs.
A lot of thumbs.
Thumbs, potatoes, whatever. It doesn't matter. There is no prerequisite of how attractive you are to have children. People will have sex with what you might deem unattractive and copulate and create a child. It happens all the time. I don't know what world he's living in. Stop it, Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz. Ugly people can have kids,
thumbed like people have kids all the time. What's he talking about?
Yeah, Matt Gaetz. Jerk.
I have more issue with his inability to, you know, ascertain reality than the comment. What is he talking about?
Ugly people have kids all the time.
Thumbs have kids far more often than they should probably.
I've never heard the term thumb before.
Yeah.
Referring to a woman.
I've heard people say this guy because his head looks like a thumb, but never a woman.
I've never seen that.
No, I've never heard that before.
It's a new one. Nice job, Matt Gaetz. 9:56, we're done. Vanessa and Galadiel, thanks for filling in. Lance will be back tomorrow with us here.
My residency is over here with Gal.
Right.
Me and Celine.
Your time on this earth?
Yeah.
Well, in this part of the earth.
Yeah, my maybe if I take one more nap, I might die, according to you. But I think I've got some time left. Me and Celine, our residencies are over.
Not right here on this part of the earth.
Oh, yeah, I'm done here.
Right there.
I'm done here.
Floor.
Yeah, clearly, I'm done here.
No, not for good. You'll be back. 9:57, we will talk to you again. Lance and I will talk to you again tomorrow, buddy.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports.